what I'm going to do is really kind of, Pastor Hong ended on verse 30 in John 3:30, and the rest of what John talks about, John the Baptist, is coming right out of that verse. So I'm going to kind of recap a little bit from what he talked about and then go right into verse 31 of John 3:30. So my title is Jesus as Above All. So I want us to think about in terms of, are we participating with God or trying to watch kind of from the sidelines? And by that, I mean this. In John 3:30, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So we understand that John's purpose was to convince his disciples, because remember, he had the disciples of people coming, following him before Jesus came on the scene. So his purpose was to convince his disciples by letting go of whatever blocked Jesus from being exalted in his ministry. Whatever blocked Jesus from being exalted in Jesus' ministry that he's coming in, John was trying to convince his people, I'm letting go of that because I want you to have a clear picture of Jesus. And it makes us ask the question with our own lives, are we living a life that is truly exalting God or a life that looks for God to exalt us, which blocks Jesus, right? So think about an example, a prayer life that looks for blessings from God and no life that sacrifices to exalt God, we fail to understand the servant relationship we should have. We're really looking to be served if I'm just looking for God to answer my prayers, right? So we can have this tendency to think that God does things without our participation, when in reality, as the body of Christ, we are to be co-laborers in what God is doing. So if we want things to change, God says, get involved with what I'm doing. I'm not getting involved in what you're doing. You get involved in what I'm doing. So 1 Corinthians says this, 3:6, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. It's saying, look, you're working with me in this thing. So, for example, praying for our children to know Christ, yet we live a selfish, indulgent life, thinking that it should cost God everything and me nothing. God says, that's not working with me, right? John was saying with his life, he was communicating this, that we cannot expect God to increase while we live to increase. That I be exalted while God is exalted. It doesn't work that way. He said it must be either or, that in order for God to increase in our life, humbling myself to fight whatever is in the way of God is the only way he increases. Now, that could be an attitude we have, a mentality that forms a lifestyle to live exalted, even while I'm in church, even while I'm preaching, whatever it may be. So we have to reverse our pride to abound, our natural pride to abound. Philippians 4:12-13, the Apostle Paul says this, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, I want you to learn the secret. He's talking about learning through experience. That's where the form of that word comes from, to learn from experience. So our natural tendency, if you think about it, is to want to abound. We're talking about abound, to be a blessed, abundance, overflowing. Because being brought low is not impressive. No one says, I want my child to be the least, the most humble, the most ridiculous looking, whatever. Being humble is not impressive. But if we don't ever learn how to be brought low or humble, we never learn contentment in a submitted life. Because we can believe contentment is about abundance, having more. Like the guy, Jesus rebuked the guy with the more barns, building bigger barns. We can have that same mentality that contentment is not about having a humble life, it's about how big I can get my life. But the humbling situations we find ourselves in are really to learn how to be contented and dependent on God, not on the things that make us feel like we're exalted. So whether I get a new house, I get married, I get whatever, those things are not made for me to live exalted, right? Apostle Paul says this, to go a step further, 1 Corinthians 4:6. He says, I've applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you be puffed up in favor of one against another. He was saying, everything you have gotten is a gift of grace, so you can't boast in it. If your boast is anything, it's what? In the Lord. So not to go beyond what is written, he's saying what God has prescribed, what is truth. So Paul's goal was not to appear exalted above what is written. which is an attitude that lives submitted to someone higher than himself, Christ the living Lord, right? The living word. Now, here's a question and challenge for us. How many of us go out of our way to make sure people don't see us as exalted? Because if I'm trying to be impressive, who is increasing and who is decreasing? There's no gray area or neutral there. It's either I'm striving to be exalted above who is greater than me, Jesus, which is why pride is delusional, right? Pride is delusional. We really don't understand that God is, we're not thinking like God is above us, right? And that makes us have a reality that Jesus is not above all, right? He's not above all. So when he is above all and I live submitted like that, like Paul is talking about and John is living out, I can't walk around like I'm so much better than you because I'm humbling myself before God. I'm one person. So I'm either humbling myself or exalting myself. So when God is there, I'm humbling myself. So when I come before you, if I'm really humbling myself before God, I'm humbling myself before you. Now, we generally don't pick to be humble, right? God uses life lived in our pride to make us humble. And then we live out a humbling situation for him to increase. Does that make sense? If we don't learn that lesson, we strive to abound again. So I might get in a humbling situation and be like, God, I can't stand this. Because naturally, we don't like it. Naturally. And we could be looking to get to a place where I can abound again and be exalted again. And it proves that we haven't learned the lesson that contentment is in God, not being made much of in abounding with what I can get or achieve. That's why Paul said, I learned the secret. I had to be put in an abase, a low situation, and learn that contentment is not about where I was when I was abounding. Contentment is about God. So I learned the secret to be abased and abound because God is the one who I'm dependent on. Now, John lives this life out, and I want us to see how we're making clear distinctions in order to esteem God above all. John 3:31 says this. He continues from that, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, talking about Jesus. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. Who comes from heaven is above all. So much like John, we're called to affirm the testimony of Jesus that he is above all, which should imply a desire to obey and exalt him, of course. Now, John, think about this. He's at a crossroads in his life where he lived out a time and period where his ministry was extremely fruitful and abounding. Right? Yet he still found his contentment in God. That's key. Because just because you're abounding doesn't mean you're living a prideful life. He was still finding his contentment in God, and he proves this. So now that Jesus is on the scene, he must humble himself even more and see his ministry put to the side for Jesus to be clearly seen and properly exalted. Now think about our life. John now is learning how to live more humble than ever. Because now he has to put aside something that could get in the way of Jesus being clearly exalted. So think about life. Life is about seasons. Seasons where we must learn to live submissive in all seasons. Because only in submission will we find contentment in God. Not in the circumstances and the abounding seasons we hope to be in. We try to find the secret, like Paul talked about, being found in God. Now, here's the key. We can live naive, expecting God to always have us abound in circumstances, right? Like, I'm in this humble circumstance, and I'm just living depressed until God gets me out of here. And that proves that our expectation is in God making us abound and not just in God. That's why it's learned throughout all of life, every stage, just learning how to find contentment in God. Otherwise, I'm living a roller coaster. Life goes here, then I'm down. Life goes up, then I'm up. Life goes down, and it just keeps on going back and forth, and we just become bipolar and unstable in every situation, right? So it's a powerful witness to find contentment in seasons of humiliation because it proves that our contentment is not on par with the world, but the one who is above all. And that testifies of a life in Jesus. And that was John. That was John. He was testifying of a life of Jesus. Because here's the key. And here I've been here, and I'm sure you've been here too. I could be living a life that really affirms God up to a point. And that point is when it clashes with me being exalted versus humbling myself. And now I have to choose. See, I might have been walking with God for a while because things were abounding and I wasn't embarrassed. But now God puts me at a crossroads like John where I have to choose, am I going to humble myself for God's glory or am I going to live in prideful denial because I can't stand humiliation? And that point shows the crossroad that I choose whether I'm going to walk with God or I'm going to stay stubborn and hard-hearted in my pride and resist change. John proves his devotion to live to exalt Jesus in that humbling season in his life. Because think about the parable of the shallow soil, right? Because when Jesus said, when people fall away in a time of persecution, which is not an abounding circumstances, right? That's humbling. People fall away, they prove to have no root. And God is about depth. Love is about depth, roots, right? So how can I prove depth if my life is always abounding? See, love is proven when there's nothing that circumstances are there. It's just me and you. That's when it's proven. It's not proven when we're all in vacation and we're all on the beach and all that kind of stuff. You don't need God for that. You need God when you don't have it going on. Things are terrible, but it's just me and you. That creates depth that is just bigger than what we're surrounded with and what we have that is in God. And that's what God was showing. He's showing that through this. Now, faith-filled promoting of Jesus. This is the key, and this is our fight for all of us. John 3, 32 to 34. Faith-filled promoting of Jesus. He says this. He continues. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Talking about Jesus, of course. Now, I want you to look at it from this point. Things get pruned in our lives to see if we are more in love with the blessing God gives than God himself. I'm not saying it has to be physically taken away. Maybe your feelings for it, right? God may prune the feeling for a job, the feeling within marriage or whatever it may be. That feeling, that contentment can't be in that. It has to be in me. Now, here's the key. What if John was more in love with his ministry and influence than God? Right? That's why Jesus said, every branch in my Father's vine, he has to prune it. Oh, those of you who are gardeners and all that, you know you have to prune it in order for it to grow. If it doesn't get pruned, it doesn't become more fruitful. That's our life. God has to prune to see, is your contentment in this or in me? Right? For growth's sake, for us to be more fruitful. So John understands that his life and ministry was to testify about Jesus being true, his character. He's testifying about God's character. Now, how do we perpetuate the same mentality of John? We receive his word, like the Bible just said, and do it. That always affirms God's character of being true. When we affirm his word and do it, we're saying, I'm going to decrease for God to increase. That's what we do. Because he's saying Jesus is from above and speaks the truth, then shouldn't he increase over whatever is in the way of him increasing? That's faith. The world says do this, and God is saying do that. The world's saying increase. God's saying decrease. The faith is right there, what God is telling me to do. Now, here's the key. Whatever is stopping Jesus from increasing is a lie. And that lie could be me in the way I think about God, influenced by Satan. Now, remember when Satan asked Eve, did God really say it's okay to eat this? What is he trying to do? Trying to get Eve to question God's character. Why? Because if I can question your character, then I can increase over you. Now I invalidate your integrity, God. So now I don't trust what you say. That's all he was trying to get her to do. So now she's entertaining increasing over God as better than decreasing. That's why Satan will always try and make us think, does God's word have integrity to it? The lie is that pride and being exalted disobedience is better than submission and being humble. That's what she did. That's what Adam did. So I'm exalted over God now. This is why, in order to live like John, I have to believe his testimony that Jesus is true and that I should decrease. Affirming the testimony that God is true by doing whatever he is calling me to decrease in. See, if the word is not there, what are you submitted to? Your feelings, situations, right? It doesn't have to be, it's no faith at all there. It's just whatever the stimulus is at that time, and I submit to that. Now, we all are growing on different levels in that area. Some of us are stronger than others. But at the same time, if the word is not there, there's no standard there to affirm Jesus is true and above all, right? It's just emotions or some kind of religious standard that is set up that's probably not the word, obviously. But when we live without any submission to the word that bears witness to him being true, I believe the lie that increasing is better than decreasing when it comes to serving God. That's the key. If the word is not there, I have to believe a lie that increasing is better than decreasing. Now think about any rebellious child. Think about us as children of God. And the lie they believe is this, that increasing and doing what I want is better than decreasing and submitting to authority. That's all that is. My kids want to do what they want. All they're saying to me, I am increasing over your authority. That's why to act like it's not a big deal. It's funny when they're five. It's terrible when they're 15. So if I'm truly looking to bear witness about this testimony of Jesus being true and sent from the Father, am I seeking the voice of God to exalt God? That's how John lived. Or am I submitted to the lie that exalts me over God? That's a lie. Now, no one in here will say I'm above God. Nobody. That's why God would say, these people praise me with their lips, their hearts far from me. That's what he means. Nobody's going to say it, but living it is the testimony. So I'm concluding with this. Revealing our status before God. John 3:35 and 36 says this. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Now, the whole chapter in regards, we talked about Nicodemus and all that, salvation. Salvation. Now, look at this. John knew the essence of his position in life. This is what salvation means for us as Christians. And didn't delude himself with the idea that being great for God has anything to do with living a life that fuels his pride. Being great for God has nothing to do with what is going to fuel my pride. You know why? Because I will live exalted. The biblical idea that John grasped in being great for God was this. It came at the expense of letting go of everything that people perceived about him that made him great. People would have looked at him like, John, you have the greatest ministry ever. And you know what he did? He let it go. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. Now, the only way you do that is grace. The only way you let go of natural pride that wants to exalt itself before God that's fallen is I am submitted to something higher than me. Otherwise, we don't, right? John is dismantling his ministry for the purpose of God to be made clear that Jesus is the point and always was the point of his ministry. It wasn't like he just happened to change in the middle. He was always the point. So when Jesus came on the scene, he could let go. See, when God meets you at a crossroad and you wonder whether you're really serving God or not, you know that by whether you can let it go or not. Had John lived as if his ministry and image were the point, when Jesus came on the scene, he wouldn't have been able to let go of his ministry. He would have continued the ministry, but it would have been dead because it would have been lived out in pride and disobedience, proving that he lived for himself. Just like the world. No distinction. I just have a name. I just have a ministry. But I don't really submit under the only power of God. Right? And the Bible says something clear and very poignant, I think, when you think about communion. And he talked about examining yourself. And he says, judge yourself and you won't need to be judged. So God is saying, if you judge yourself, I don't need to judge you. But if you don't judge yourself, I'm going to have to do it. Now, wouldn't you rather pick out your own punishment than let God do it? Or you'd rather judge yourself and humble yourself rather than God pick out what he wants to do? Right? First John 2:15 says this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and desires of the eyes and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Now, here's the key. When he talks about loving the world, we got to see it from this point of view because I think it gets butchered a lot. Now, here's the key. Is the point of life, family, profession, whatever you do, about how exalted I can look in the eyes of people around me? Which in turn excludes Jesus and an influence to be exalted in his greatness, right? See, the dilemma we find ourselves in not being obedient to lay our lives down for Jesus to increase is that we can expect God to bless while we live hostile and being exalted above him. Think about that. Nobody in the world, you don't need to know Christ, would say, I don't want the blessings of God. The difference between the Christian and the world is, I want the blessings of God, but I am laying down my life to live for him. That's the difference. So when it says that, don't love the world, what is he saying? Don't love the system by which they operate, that they live to be exalted above me. Now look at society today, particularly when it comes to Christians. Let's throw out this, let's throw out that, let's not have nothing that resembles God. Why? Because we are exalted in here. But I want to be blessed by God. That's trying to increase while he increases. And that's not either or. He must increase. John lived, but I must decrease. Now look at James 4, 6, and 7. Because this is the key here, I think, for us. And I'm closing. James says this. He gives more grace. I'm my God, of course. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Here's the key. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what is it? Why does resist the devil come into there? Think about it. Because the devil desires for you and I to live exalted above God. Pride. So if you and I live exalted above God, the devil knows we have no power to beat him. But if we live submitted unto God, he's overcome. That's the lie. And the lie is be exalted. Let people make much of you. But you're powerless, and you get your reward when they give you the accolades, and you look wonderful, and all this kind of stuff. I'm not saying we don't like praise and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, is my life geared to be exalted over God? That's my point. So he says, resist the devil, because you and I trying to be exalted over God is from the devil. Pride. So resist the temptation to get exalted over me. And he will flee from you. Now, the warning from John is that if our lifestyle is filled with self-exalted disobedience, then we prove the wrath of God remains on us. Isn't that the world? If my life is filled with self-exalted disobedience, I ask you, what is the difference for a Christian? How do they distinguish between a Christian and someone who don't believe in Jesus Christ? That's indicting. Because if we can say, Lord, Lord, all day, but if we don't submit to him, we already know he's not. And the witness and testimony that Jesus is above all is dead. Now, I'm going to close with this, because the one thing I think, Pastor Hong said this last week, and if you think about John's ministry, John the Baptist, because this dismantles a lot of fairy tale stuff we might hear about God and that we get from the movies and all this kind of stuff. But John, being completely faithful, when Jesus gave him the highest accolade, there hadn't been a greater man that came before John the Baptist and all that. If you think about that, he's giving praise to John, but why is he giving praise to John? Because John lived his entire life dedicated to exalting Jesus, right? But John ends up getting accused and put in prison. And Jesus, and John had a question. He's like, look, are you the one? Because at that point, he's sitting there wondering, like, I'm living a faithful life for you, and you're going to leave me in prison? He got beheaded. That was the end of his life. And sometimes we can think that somehow I'm going to ride off in the sunset in life with God. And we are in heaven. We are in heaven. But to think that we're supposed to have that all the time here is to be expecting to abound. And God may have called you to a ministry that you're not abounding in the sense that we think abounding, where it's about my name getting called and me being so fruitful that everyone thinks of me and looks at me as wonderful. At that point, who's exalted? So I'm saying that to say a life being humble for God is you cannot live that naturally. It has to be desperately dependent on God and his word. Because naturally we'll exalt ourselves. Amen? Let's pray.